This is a production from the Yak Podcasting Network. The home for your growing sonic map of local voices, united in their commitment to the best in podcasting.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Something's Brewing, your Texas Longhorn football recruiting podcast hosted by Jason Sukumel. That would be me. And in case you've forgotten, I feel like a stranger. It's been a while since I've done one of these. Been doing some traveling and some other things, and so it's been a while. I need to shake the rust off, but we've got some things to talk about today, so I thought it'd be a good time to pop in and knock out a quick podcast for you recruiting fans. And I appreciate and thankful for everyone for hanging around and sticking around and giving me some of your time this week. I hope everybody is continuing to do well and hold up well. And I know I seem like I start off every week talking about this with the coronavirus, and we're reopening, and now we're closing, and what's going on, and school's starting back up, and are getting ready to start back up, and just hope everybody's doing well, man. I'm just a little confused. A couple weeks ago, and I can't remember if I talked about this before, but it was kind of a spur of the moment thing, but my wife and kids and I took a much needed getaway. We just packed up, and literally, man, we packed up our coolers, we packed up food, just anything we could think of to keep us from having to make repeated trips to the store. And we drove to Angel Fire, New Mexico, about an 11-hour drive, and just spent about 4 nights up there, just kind of hung out at a cabin we rented. It's kind of nice, man, dirt cheap, but we rented a cabin up in the mountains and just hung out and had campfires at night and did a couple hikes. Saw a couple bears that were way too close for my wife's comfort. She saw one when she was out on a hike by herself on a trail that was probably 50-ish yards away from her. And then we all saw one off our back deck. He walked right through our backyard, like 30 yards from our back deck. So that was cool. It was exciting. But, you know, you do those vacations, and we have four kids, ages 9. One of them actually turned 9 the day we left. So 9 through 15. So, you know, you're always trying to deal with the kids and keep them happy and keep them active and keep them engaged. So it was nice to spend a few days doing that. And now they just announced yesterday that my kid's school district, Leander School District, is basically saying, hey, they're going to start on regular schedule August 13th, and you can either come back to school as normal or you can homeschool for the whole year, but there's no in-between. And, man, I got two kids. I got two high schoolers now, so I can't be homeschooling now. I don't have time to homeschool four kids, so I don't know. I don't know if it's the smartest and safest thing, but I guess our kids are going back to school in August, so now I'm thinking, man, if you listen to me, we've been pretty hardcore with social distancing and quarantining, and now I'm like, what the hell's the point if we're going to send them back to the petri dish that is the school system and the classrooms? And I know they'll take measures, but I'm not convinced it's going to slow that thing down once those kids get in class. So you may not hear from me again in like early August. I'm thinking, what the hell, man? We've avoided the beach. We've canceled beach trips. We always try to do one summer beach trip with our family. We've canceled it just because we thought it was too crowded and too unsafe. But man, if they're reopening schools and kind of business as usual, I mean, obviously they'll be taking some new measures, but if they're reopening schools, and now I feel like, what the hell, going to the beach is kind of the least of our concerns. So who knows? We'll see. That may give me something to talk about in a couple of weeks. I want to talk to my wife about that, but let's talk about recruiting, which y'all came here to listen to. So big week. I guess it was last week. It was on Friday with Texas reeling in a commitment from cornerback Jameer Johnson. Kind of, you know, just interesting twists and turns on that one, and just kind of a unique recruitment. First off, Jameer really doesn't do many interviews, so it was tough to really get a good handle on what he was thinking. And I never really thought Texas was that big of a factor. I knew Texas was in his top 7. There were rumblings that Texas was right around there, you know, top 3 or 4. He really wanted to get to Austin for a visit. That obviously got shot down. So, you know, I probably should have tried to keep better tabs on it. Bottom line is the number I had for Jameer Johnson, it's not that I didn't try. It was to some church organization, so I didn't even have a good number. Yeah, I was able to track down his 7-on-7 coach's number kind of leading up to his decision, and that was a good resource for me. But this is a guy who, weirdly, is a Rivals 250 member, kind of flew under the radar in terms of coverage. Again, he was just kind of a hermit that he didn't do many interviews, phone or otherwise. Obviously, there was no camp circuit this summer, so spring or summer, so we didn't get to see people in person there. He just kind of flew under the radar, and then he announced a few weeks ago that he was going to have a decision on July 3rd, last Friday. And again, I knew he liked Texas, but the overwhelming consensus was that he was probably going to wind up at Oregon. And Colorado was a major player. One of his former high school coaches is now the DB coach at Colorado. There was some thought that USC was going to be in play there, but Oregon picked up a couple defensive back commitments, so they didn't have the room for him. If I'm just being completely honest, that wasn't an option for Jahmyr Johnson on Friday. USC kind of decided to look in other directions, so USC really wasn't an option. A lot of people in California thought maybe he would wind up at USC just because his school, Pasadena, and I think it's pronounced Muir, M-U-I-R, I'm not even sure, but they're kind of a pipeline to USC. They're one of those schools that send most of their top prospects to USC. In fact, Johnson is a teammate committed there to USC, but USC really didn't have the spot for him. So it kind of came down to Texas and Colorado and Arizona State, and Texas wound up winning out, you know, sight unseen. Johnson has not been to Austin. He's, of course, done virtual visits, and, you know, his mom, especially you follow her on Twitter and whatnot, she's very supportive of the decision. And actually, it was an Arizona source told me his mom actually preferred Texas. I don't know if it's just to kind of get him further, a little bit further away from home, academically, socially, just the coaches. She preferred Texas. So nice pickup there for Texas, a Rivals 250 cornerback. And that's her second cornerback commitment in less than a month to go with Jahmyr Johnson. Jahmyr Johnson to go with Ishmael Ibrahim. So nice little developments there by Jay Valai, the new cornerbacks coach, has two cornerbacks committed. So, you know, Johnson's kind of, I talked to a West Coast guy, you know, you put on the film, he missed a lot of games last year, but you put on the film and he's making plays downfield and he just looks like a pretty good athlete with a pretty good nose for the football. And I talked to Adam Gorney, our West Coast recruiting analyst for Rivals.com. And he said, hey man, this is a guy who's really just a naturally athletic player who can thrive in a conference like the Big 12. You know, he's adept at bump and run. He's adept at press coverage. He can play off and play some zone type stuff for you. So, you know, Gorney seems to think that Jahmyr Johnson will come in and make a pretty smooth transition for Texas and has a chance to be a valuable contributor. So nice pickup for Texas. Nice pickup for Jay Valai, the Texas cornerbacks coach. And Jahmyr Johnson's pledge puts Texas at 14 commitments. Texas is smack dab at number 10 in the Rivals.com team recruiting ranking. So, you know, pretty good class so far. Still a lot of room to grow. I mean, this is a class that I'm expecting. I've been told it'll probably be 25 or maybe even more. So this is a class that could still have, you know, 11, 12, 13 pieces to add to it. Still quite a few big fish out there that Texas is chasing. We'll probably, you know what, we got time to kill. It's been a while since I did one, so we may go position by position here in a little bit. But your bottom line is 14 commitments, had a nice little run. Texas went from September. It was September of last year. Now, they had a couple decommitments, so I'm not counting the guys who decommitted or committed and then decommitted. But Texas went from September 8th. Jatavion Sanders committed on September 8th of last year. They didn't have another commitment that stuck until May 2nd of this year. So what are you talking here? You're talking 8 months without a commitment. That's crazy. Is it 7 or 8 months? I have to do the math, break out the calculator. But, you know, that's unheard of for Texas, especially with the way they started. Now, all of a sudden, since Jordan Thomas committed on May 2nd, they've had 8 commitments in about a 2-month span. So nice little run, and they're pretty much all defensive commitments except for Jonathan Brooks and Casey Kane and then Isaac Pearson, the punter out of Australia. So, you know, nice run of defensive commitments for Texas. They've had 3 defensive back commitments in a row. You throw J.D. Kofi, the safety, in there. So, you know, defensive recruiting is looking pretty good right now. There's still some players they're chasing, of course, but now Texas needs to get some of these offensive pieces to start falling into place. So let's kind of focus on defensive back. Then maybe we'll circle back and talk about some of these other positions. But, you know, what's left at defensive back for Texas? They've got what amounts to four defensive back commitments right there, right now. You got Jahmyr Johnson, a pure corner. You got Ish Ibrahim, a pure corner. You got J.D. Kofi, who is, I like him as a pure safety. He thinks, or he said, he may have a chance to play some nickelback, do some other things. I think he's going to wind up being a deep safety for Texas. And then you got Billy Bowman, who just a jack-of-all-trades athlete who can do it on offense for you as a receiver. He can be a fantastic safety, a nickelback. He can do it in the return game. I still am counting Billy Bowman as a secondary player, as a defensive back. I think he's a natural fit as a nickel defensive back, but it would not shock me if he wound up on offense. He is a dynamic slot receiver when he gets the ball in his hands. So what's left? Let's say they have four defensive back commitments if we're counting Billy Bowman. We know they need another safety. And there's a couple guys they're chasing. The main one would be Andrew Makuba, the safety out of Austin LBJ. And, you know, I think that one's going to come down to Texas or Clemson. And you got to see, let's see how hard Clemson is going to push in the long run. But I kind of like Texas's chances, man. He plays 7-on-7 ball with J.D. Kofi and Ish Ibrahim. I was told right after he committed that there was, you know, someone that was close to him told me, hey, they think Texas kind of climbed into the lead there, but there's still work to be done. Texas needs to get him on campus. If you can get him on campus with those other guys, that would certainly help. You know, you talk, get those guys talking about playing together at the next level, carrying on their 7-on-7 tradition, carried on to the next level at Texas. That's going to help. Makuba's pretty open. Keep saying he's not going to rush into a decision. I think ultimately right now it's kind of Texas and Clemson are the top two there. You could probably make a case that it's close to a coin flip, but I got a sneaky suspicion. The kid's from, you know, plays at Austin LBJ. He's got a couple teammates that are going, 7-on-7 teammates going to Texas. I like Texas's position more than some others do. There's another young man out of Manor, Devin Lemire. He's a safety that Texas offered. You know, I think Makuba's probably option number one there, but I think if Texas pushes there, they've got a good shot with Devin Lemire. He's got Texas Tech and Baylor and some others. Former TCU commitment, so you know he's probably a good player based on their evaluations, but those are a couple safety options they've got. And it was interesting last week. It was early last week. I don't remember, maybe Monday or Tuesday. Texas offers Jalen Williams, a cornerback out of South Grand Prairie. Well, this was before I had a really good handle that Jahmyr Johnson was trending UT's way. And when that offer came out, I kind of scratched my head a little bit and I said, why is Texas offering another cornerback if they're rumored to be in a pretty good spot with Jahmyr Johnson, who's committing on Friday? And I thought, all right, maybe they're not in such a good position with Jahmyr Johnson as I thought. Well, I ended up talking to Jalen Williams, again, cornerback out of South Grand Prairie, and he was told, hey, no, Texas wants to take three cornerback commitments in this class. So I don't think his offer was at all related to Jahmyr Johnson's decision. I think it more had to do with Anthony Cook deciding to leave the program for a second time, and it looks like that one's probably going to stick. So that increases the need at cornerback for Jay Valai. He's going to have to possibly take a third cornerback. So they definitely want another safety. I think they'll take another cornerback if the numbers are there, if the right guy's there. So Jalen Williams out of South Grand Prairie is a guy to keep an eye on at that cornerback position. Sticking with the defensive backfield, and this is kind of a DB-dominated podcast so far, but you know, we haven't talked much, or I haven't talked much, about the commitments of J.D. Kofi and Ishmael Ibrahim. You know, they committed. It was, I'm looking at their commitment dates here. It was actually on June 15th, so let's call it three-ish weeks ago. And, you know, I got a chance. I know I talked about this. I got a chance to go up there and see those guys work out and talk to both of them up at a workout in Dallas the weekend before they announced their decisions. And, I mean, those were clearly trending UT's way. We knew it for a long time. We had everything written and ready to go. But it was nice to go watch those dudes and kind of just talk to them in person and watch them work out. But, you know, two really good pickups. Kofi is a Rivals 250 member. And that was one of the more interesting things. I've always thought it was J.D. Coffey, C-O-F-F-E-Y. And JD's such a nice kid. He didn't correct me when I talked to him, but when I talked to Ishmael Ibrahim, he said, it's JD Kofi. And I said, oh crap, I've been saying the wrong name the whole time. So unless Ish was messing with me, he said, it's JD Kofi. But you know, JD's a Rivals 250 safety just out of Kennedale. He's just outside the Rivals 100 at number 112. Lots to like with JD Kofi, man. I mean, you watch his film. Listen, he's not Earl Thomas. He's not going to go out and run a 4.4, okay? He's not necessarily, you know, the speed would be maybe one area of concern if you had to pick one. But I think he's fast enough. And I think what he maybe makes up for in terms of having lack of elite speed and elite quickness, just super instinctual, just has a knack for being around the ball. I mean, he can diagnose plays almost at the snap if you watch his film. And he really makes some nice reads on some different plays and just puts himself in position to make, frankly, pretty easy plays on the ball. And he's just a very instinctual player. So, I mean, really good pickup for Texas. He's physical. He's versatile. He can really help in run support. So I like that pickup of JD Kofi. Rivals has him at number 112 overall and number 4 safety in the country. I think if he had gone to camps and maybe tested and, you know, kind of tested better than maybe some people might have expected, I think maybe he could even have a higher ranking than that. But nice pickup by Texas with JD Kofi. Ishmael Ibrahim is interesting. You know, he's a cornerback and he's out of Dallas Kimball. He's got good size, about 6'1". Only about 165, and that's pretty, you know, I thought, okay, maybe that's a little outdated. But when I talked to Ish, you know, he is what I'd call a wiry player. He's got a lot of room to fill out. But I tell you what, man, put on the film, he plays more like a hard-hitting safety than he does a cornerback, much less a cornerback that slight of frame like he is. But this is a guy that's a really good athlete, can turn and run and cover downfield, has good size at 6'1 to kind of, you know, match up with bigger receivers. But oh my goodness, man, his clips are as much about him in run support or delivering blows to receivers as they are making plays on the ball. I teased him and I said, dude, you need to update your film and show me some more actual, like, you know, defensive back coverage skills, because everything is you just blowing up guys against the run. He's like, yeah, it's just what I like to do. But yeah, you know, he's another Rivals 250 member. He's number 216 nationally. He's the 18th ranked cornerback in the country. This is a guy that had offers from, you know, Alabama and Texas A&M and Oklahoma and Georgia, and the list goes on and on and on, LSU. So, I mean, this is a really, really good pickup that was highly coveted. So, really good job with the secondary recruiting. Jay Valai has done a really good job. Chris Ash has done a really good job. You know, now they just need a couple more pieces there to round things out. So, I tell you what, let's jump in. I was going to talk about a couple offensive linemen, but let's just go position by position. I'll just touch on some of those guys as we go down the list. So we'll start off at quarterback. And, you know, Texas, it's pretty much one and done at quarterback, it looks like. You know, Jalen Milroe, I think he's going to be the only guy. I don't think there's any need for Texas to even mess with it or try to find a second cornerback. You know, there was a time when they offered a couple guys, Garrett Nussmeier, who wound up committing to LSU, and Sawyer Robertson, who committed to Mississippi State, but things never really got that serious with those two guys. And frankly, it kind of ruffled some feathers with Milroe just for a little bit. Texas was able to smooth it over pretty quickly, but you took two quarterbacks last year. You got Jalen Milroe this year. You got a guy like Quinn Ewers next year, potentially. Just take Jalen Milroe, be happy with it. Dude's a phenomenal player, phenomenal leader, phenomenal recruiter. Just take one and be done with it. That was my philosophy all along. I think that's what's going to wind up happening. Running back's a little more interesting. I mean, Texas does have a commitment from Jonathan Brooks out of Hallettsville. I think he's a little bit underrated. Rivals has him a 3-star prospect, kind of a mid 3-star at that. And I think that's a little bit off. I think this is a guy that's probably a high 3-star, could even make a case for a low 4-star. Out of Hallettsville, so he's tough to kind of scout. You know, he's kind of in the middle of nowhere, plays a smaller school's classification, so kind of hard, you know, when you're talking about him versus guys that are playing 5A and 6A, it's, you know, he just doesn't get the attention maybe some of the other guys do. But nice pickup there. you know, Texas is still trying to find one more. Of course, the two names, Kamar Wheaton out of Lakeview Centennial and L.J. Johnson, two rivals 100 backs. Kamar is the number one back in the country. L.J. is the number four back in the country. So, you know, Texas is certainly within striking distance on both of those guys, but not a whole lot new. You know, Kamar's taking things slowly. L.J. actually talked to rivals this week, and, you know, he's got about five or six schools he's still focusing on, including Texas. He wants to take his visits before he decides. So that'd be, you know, for Texas, they want to get one of those to pair with Jonathan Brooks. And then after that, you know, if they miss on both those guys, I don't know. It might be a one-back class. This might be a situation where Texas has to try to, I don't say scramble, but they have to do some reevaluations and find some other guys. Receiver's been pretty interesting, certainly of late. The Texas has one commitment from Casey Kane, wide receiver out of New Orleans. You know, a little bit, I don't want to say underrated, but he's a low-rated guy, didn't have a long offer list, but Texas saw something they like in him with his size and his catch radius and ability to make plays in traffic at 6'3". So there's one commitment in the bag, and then you start thinking, okay, where do they go from here? You know, Teddy Knox is off the table. JoJo Earl's off the table, committed to LSU. Texas is still working on him, but I think that's going to be a tough flip. Keetron Jackson's an interesting one, the Rivals 250 guy to Royce City. Right now, if I had to put my money down, I think it's going to be Arkansas if he's picking right now. But if he holds off, like he says he's going to, he's got a top seven, I believe it is. Texas is squarely in that. I could see Texas winning out with that one. And this is a guy who grew up, he told me, man, I grew up wearing Texas gear and had Texas hoodies or towels or blankets or whatever the hell it was when he was really young. So this is a young man who really likes Texas a lot. Texas just needs to hope he doesn't make an early decision because Arkansas got him on campus right before the coronavirus shut everything down and made a really strong impression. But I think Texas has a really good chance there. Keetron Jackson. This week, there's been a lot of buzz about Dakeel Crowdis, who is a wide receiver out of Kentucky. He's committed to Kentucky. He's kind of, let's say, online buddies, but social media buddies, I guess, if you will, with J.D. Coffey. Jonathan Brooks, the running back commitment, I think, talked to him a little bit. And Texas offered him a while back, and nobody really thought much of it. Hey, he's a guy from Kentucky, committed to Kentucky. But he's a slot receiver with a lot of speed, and there's a lot of buzz. I mean, J.D. and them think Texas has a really good shot. And I was told by someone close to Crowdis, hey, yeah, the interest on his behalf in the University of Texas is definitely picking up. Am I saying he's going to flip his commitment? No, I'm not saying that. He hasn't visited yet, but there's some confidence among the Texas commits that this guy could be a part of this class when it's done. Here's a name that has never been mentioned on this podcast. I really haven't mentioned him on Orange Bloods. I'm still working to get him an update on him, but I think it's Adonai Mitchell, A-D-O-N-A-I, Adonai Mitchell. Adonai Mitchell, I think is how I heard him say it. Adonai Mitchell out of Nashville, Tennessee. He's committed to Ole Miss. Before he moved to Nashville, he was in the Houston area, and I've just heard kind of some grapevine talk that people at Texas are pretty excited about him, pretty excited about their chances. So I'm working on getting an update on him. If you're an Orange Blood subscriber, file that name away. I hope to maybe have something this week, maybe for the War Room or something, but Adonai Mitchell is a guy that I think Texas fans might want to start paying a little bit of attention to, probably. I would say more than we have, but we haven't paid him any attention, so anything's more than that. But just, you know, maybe start kind of paying attention to that name, and I'll see if I can get an update on him. Jaden Alexis is a guy we've talked about quite a bit on this podcast. He's out of Florida. He's said flat out he's down to Miami. Not but down to, but he's Miami and Texas are his top two. He goes back and forth on them. And he's from Coconut Creek, Florida, which is just outside of Miami. So the Hurricanes certainly have the edge in proximity, but Jaden's a pretty cerebral cat, dude. When I've talked to him, he's a pretty mature thinker, and it's not just about football for him. So he understands what a commitment to the University of Texas, what an education from the University of Texas, what the brand of the University of Texas can do for him. So I like UT's chances. I've talked to a couple other people. They think Texas is going to get him as well. J.J. Henry's another slot receiver option out of McKinney, Texas. And He's pretty open. He wants to take his visits. I think Texas has a really good shot there if they push, but there's so many moving parts. When if Texas winds up getting Dakiel Crowdis, that could take a spot there. So, you know, they've got options at receiver, but they only have one commitment. So, you know, Andre Coleman needs to find a way to reel in a couple of these other guys and, you know, maybe get three or four of those guys on board to fill out that class. We go to tight end. You know, Texas has one tight end commitment in Juan Davis. Technically, he's not a tight end. That's where we have him classified. He's actually an athlete. I mean, if you talk to people behind the scenes at Texas, they'll tell you, hey, he's not a tight end. He's a jumbo offensive athlete. But for lack of better description, we're going to put him at tight end. You know, beyond that, there's a guy, a young man out of Colorado. I think I've talked about him before, Gunnar Helm, out of Greenwood Village, Colorado. This is a guy who's really high on Texas. He did a virtual visit with Texas a couple weeks ago and loved it. He did visit Iowa this week. Can't talk to the coaches or anything, but he went from Colorado to Iowa City. So that makes me think, okay, he's actually pretty interested in the Iowa Hawkeyes if he's going to Iowa City to see that campus. So I think Iowa's Texas's biggest competition, maybe Wisconsin, but he does really like Texas. I think Texas has a good shot there, but boy, if they could find a way to get him to Austin, that would certainly help. And he's actually got a defensive line teammate we'll talk about in a little bit that Texas is recruiting also, so that could come into play. Okay, let's switch over to offensive line. This is one of the ones I want to talk about because it's been an interesting week and a half. I actually talked to James Brockermeyer on Monday night. What are we at, Tuesday here? Yeah, it was Monday night. No. Oh, man, my days are all mixed up. Yeah, Monday, I'm sorry. James Brockermeyer and I talked, and, you know, we were instant messaging with each other, and I said, did you have time for an update, James? And James is always super nice and super generous with his time. He goes, yeah, sure. He said, call me on Monday or whatever. And he goes, you know, there's not a whole lot new going on. I said, that's okay, man. You know, just still nice to talk to you and pick your brain, and people still like hearing from you. So, you know, he's still looking at the four. It's Texas, Alabama, Auburn, and LSU. He's still talking to all four of them pretty much every day. Not a lot of movement per se, but, you know, there was, I mean, he and Tommy, his brother, really wanted to decide this summer, but now he's kind of like, man, I don't know if that's going to happen. You know, it'd be nice to wait until the fall to take some visits. But then again, he said, and he brought up some good points that I honestly hadn't thought of. And he said, even if we can take visits in the fall for games, it's not going to be like what it normally would. You're not going to have full crowds. You're going to have to social distance on your visits from probably the coaches and other players. And he's right, man. Even the official visits are not going to be what they normally would be. So probably won't be as impactful. And I don't know. I thought it was just interesting to talk to him and kind of get his perspective. I mean, I asked him, I said, hey, do you have a plan in place? I mean, are y'all going to just sit down and kind of come up with a timeline or go through checks and minuses? Is it just when something just, you wake up and you're like, hey, it just hits me and I want to do it today. And he doesn't really have an answer. They're just kind of going day by day through this process and just, you know, gathering information and just kind of trying to get as comfortable as they can with everything and, you know, and kind of see what happens in the fall in terms of visits and football season and this, that, and the other. So it's still a four-team race there. I genuinely think he's undecided. I think Alabama's a major player there. I think Texas, I think it probably comes down to those two for James and Tommy Brockermeyer. I just don't have a good feel on it right now. I've said this before. If he was to commit, James, and I'll say Tommy too, if they were to commit probably in the next month and a half, so meaning they commit this summer, I think it's probably going to be Alabama. If they wait and if Texas has a good season and they see the development of Sam Cosmi and Derek Kerstetter and the Texas program is on the rise, then I like Texas's chances. So if you're Texas, man, just keep hoping the Brockermeyer family and the Brockermeyer brothers just keep holding off on making a decision. You know, we've got a lot of other offensive linemen we can talk about. Bryce Foster, you know, I got a little note from someone this week who has given me really reliable information on Bryce in the past and kind of the same thing. They said, hey, he is genuinely undecided. He's got five schools he's looking at. And he's genuinely undecided among those five. I think it's Texas. I think it's Texas A&M. I think it's Oklahoma. I think those are the main three. But I genuinely think he is undecided among, I think he's got five total he's looking at. But, you know, if you're thinking his mind's made up, I'm told that's not the case. And it probably won't be until he takes his visits, and he's not planning on deciding until December, right before the early signing period. Savion Byrd, not much new there. I talked to him, wasn't too long ago, and he told me he's not doing anything until he takes his visits, and Texas will get one of his visits, he told me, so you know, we'll see what happens there. One name of interest, I thought this one was interesting, I reported on this on Orange Bloods, is Michael Mislinski, who is a center out of Florida, out of Jacksonville, Florida. His dad is the strength coach for the Jacksonville Jaguars, like an eight or nine year NFL veteran offensive lineman himself. Well, Michael Mislinski made his way to Austin with his mom for an unofficial visit. I can't even say that, but just to kind of see the campus and see the city. And he's got family in Round Rock. So they stayed there and saw them. And he FaceTimed with Herb Hand and Mike Yersich and kind of toured the campus while he was on FaceTime. He's done some other visits with schools like Florida State, and he's going to several others coming up. So he's really being proactive in taking these visits, even though he can't meet with the coaches. But he really liked what he saw from the Texas campus, just how close everything was, where the players live. He wants to study kinesiology. Those courses are literally inside the stadium. He's got aunt and uncle in Round Rock. His uncle's a vice president at Southwestern University in Georgetown. So there's a lot of things, man, weighing in Texas's favor in this. He's a center. You got James Brockermeyer, just like, again, some moving parts there. But I think Texas is a much bigger player for Michael Mislinski than I maybe had originally thought. So if we flip over to defensive line, you know, Texas is in pretty good shape there. They got Jatavion Sanders committed. They've got Jordan Thomas committed. So they've got a couple defensive line commitments. And I think they've got some really good options there that they're in a pretty good spot with. Ikawana is a defensive tackle out of Lakeview Centennial. He is a teammate of running back Kamar Wheaton. He really likes that Texas offer. Albert Regis is a ultra-athletic defensive tackle that Texas recently offered out of La Porte. Really high on Texas. Shamar Turner is a defensive end, defensive tackle combo guy out of DeSoto. He's got a top five for SEC schools and Texas. Texas has some things going on behind the scenes there. I think the Longhorns are in a pretty good spot there. I mentioned the Colorado connection. Well, Arden Walker is a defensive end out of Colorado, the teammate of Gunnar Helm, the tight end. That dude really likes Texas a lot, man. His dad played at Colorado, but he really likes Texas a lot. His dad almost went to Texas, so he's one to watch. Jonathan Jones is a defensive lineman, defensive end out of McKinney. So they've got options at defensive line. I think that'll come together. It's just a matter of which ones are going to fall into place, but they've got quite a few options. Linebacker, they've done a really good job there. Coleman Hutzler, the first-year linebacker coach. You've got Maurice Blackwell and Derek Harris, two commitments. Terrence Cooks is a guy that most people think Texas is trending well for, including myself. So, you know, they've got three there. If you think Cooks is going to land in this class, they've got three. I still think they may wind up taking four. You know, if they could get a guy like Jaden Williams, who committed to Arizona State, maybe he reconsiders. You know, if they can find another linebacker, I could certainly see them taking four. They're young and without a lot of depth at the linebacker's position, but they're in good shape with two and really good, you know, looking good to get at least three on the commitment list. We talked about the defensive back situation at length. So overall, pretty good situation for Texas. It comes down to receivers and offensive line to me is going to determine whether or not this is a top five type class or a class that finishes in the 10 to 15 range. And I'm not the only one watching like receivers. I mean, it's just common sense. A guy like Jalen Milroe is watching what's happening at receiver. I mean, he needs weapons to throw to, and you know, Jalen's watching what Texas is doing. So Texas they're not in any risk of losing Jalen Milroe at all, but they would certainly be doing themselves a favor to keep their Pied Piper quarterback happy if they could reel in a couple of these receiver commitments, a guy like Jaden Alexis, maybe out of Florida, and some of these other guys. So all in all, you know, been a pretty productive week for Texas, or a pretty productive month, I should say, for Texas, with three defensive back commitments. They've gained some much-needed momentum. There was a time there when things were really stagnant for Texas, but they've gained some momentum over the last month and a half or so, so things have started to really pick up. Now it's just kind of crunch time and, lack of a better term, nut-cutting time. There's some really heavy hitters out there in Bryce Foster and the Brockermeyer brothers and the running back situation. There are some really heavy hitters that could really determine what kind of class we're talking about, you know, come December, assuming guys are going to go ahead and sign in December. And they may not. Hell, guys may wait till February. That's a whole other discussion. But that's a pretty thorough recap. It's been a while since I've talked to y'all, so I wanted to kind of go through position by position, talk about some of these new commitments, talk about some of the guys I've talked to of late. I'll work on tracking down. I've got a few guys that I want to try to get updates on, including a couple of those committed receivers, a guy like Savion Byrd. So I'll keep working on some of those guys, see what I can round up. Maybe we'll have something to talk about next week, or you can always get my stuff on orangebloods.com if you are a subscriber there. So once again, I'm Jason Sukumil. This is Something's Brewing, your Texas Longhorn football recruiting podcast hosted by our friends at the Yak. Hey, thanks y'all for hanging in, and I apologize. I know it's been a couple weeks since I've done one, so I know you guys get tired of hearing that, but sometimes there's just not a lot to talk about, and I'm not one naturally with the gift of gab, so I can't just BS my way through 30 minutes if there's not a lot to talk about. So we had stuff this week, so I thought it was a good time to record. So thanks for being patient. Thanks for being loyal, listeners. You all stay safe, stay healthy, have a great rest of your week, and we will talk soon. Take care.